Good evening. If you want to open your New Testaments to the fourth chapter of the letter to the Philippians, we'll start there in a minute. First, a question. And you don't have to raise your hand for this. How many of you like scary movies? Used to be one of my favorite things to do is watch scary movies. About 50 years ago. When's the worst time to watch a scary movie? Right before you go to bed. Especially if you're by yourself. When's the worst time to let children watch scary movies? What's the thing about scary movies? They plant scary ideas in your head. Shows about murder, especially true murders, things that actually happen, those will also do the same thing. Now, I'm not against scary movies. I'm not against shows that talk about murder. But it makes the point that the things we give our time to plant ideas in our head, and they make us think a certain way. I don't know about you, but if I watch a scary movie and then go to bed, I'm going through the house, making sure all the doors are locked, everything's secure, all that good stuff, because it puts an idea in my head. There have been times in the past when Debbie and I were, something happened and we were sort of upset and kind of down. So we would put on the movie Mary Poppins, and we would watch Mary Poppins. Or we have watched Hello, Dolly. Anybody watch Hello, Dolly with Barbara Streisand? I'm not crazy about her politics, but that is one movie that will put you in a much better mood and make you feel more at ease with life if you want to watch that. Now, that's just secular movies. That's all that is. Scary stuff on one hand, murder mysteries on that hand, delightful movies on the other hand. They all impact our thinking. How many of you have to be careful when you're driving what music you listen to? Because you go a little faster with certain rock and roll songs, even some country western songs will make you drive a little faster because they drive a little faster. Things like this impact our thinking. It's very important what we give our time to mentally, what we focus on, because it changes the way we see the world around us. And so I think that's why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this to the church at Philippi. Start reading with me at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord's near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And then he wraps up the thought, I think, in verse 9. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Probably most of us in here are familiar with verse 8 and the things he's encouraging us to keep our minds on. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, what's right, think on these kinds of things. That's something you have to do deliberately. Your mind doesn't just drift to these kinds of things. This is something you have to take pains to a degree. Maybe pains isn't the right word, but you have to make the effort to think on things that are good, because we live in a world that is not good. Have you noticed there's a lot of stuff wrong in the world? And so to think on these things takes a little extra effort, but it will change your outlook. If you really want an immediate improvement in the way you think, turn off the news. Just don't watch it. You watch the news thinking, I need to keep myself informed. When's the last time something changed in the world for the better because you were watching the news? I'm not against the news. I'm just saying if you want your mind to be settled, the news probably isn't the route to go. But if you find something that's described in this verse right here, something that's true, something that's honorable, something that's excellent, think on that. Give your time to that. Spend some time with that mentally and emotionally. That's what Paul is telling us to do. Now, it doesn't start here. There's several other passages that talk about this. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is where Moses had just gotten the law and given the law to Israel. And in chapter 5, he goes over the Ten Commandments. And we won't read through all of chapter 5, but I just want you to see that. Starting in verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully." So here's the law. The law is brand new to them. They hadn't had it very long. It was brand new. Moses brought it down from Mount Sinai. God gave it to him. He was giving it to Israel. He said, this is what we need to memorize. This is what we need to learn so that we can observe these things. So he goes over them in detail in chapter 5. Then we get to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, he says this. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, or Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I'm commanding you this day shall be where? On your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The law is something God intended for all of Israel to get in their minds so it could get into their hearts, so it could be expressed in the way they lived. And that's the way it has to happen. You have to get something in somebody's head. They have to understand it intellectually, what it is. And once you understand it intellectually, then you can evaluate it on a personal level to see how valuable it is, and you realize how valuable something is or isn't, and in this case, what it is. And based on that, you are inspired, compelled to do it because you know this is the right thing, this is a good thing. And God was having Moses address parents. We skipped over the first few verses, but look at verse 2. "So that your son and your grandson might fear the Lord to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." So this was something that not only the fathers and grandfathers were supposed to think about, to learn, to consider, but they were to teach it to their children and grandchildren, passing it along. So you have it in your mind and you pass it on to the minds of others. You think about it. Where are you going to write it? Where are you going to write it? On the doorposts of your homes. Look what it says in verse 9. "You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, frontals on your forehead." This is how God was describing the duty of Israel towards the law. Not just think about it, but learn it so that they might obey it and put it into practice. And then you move on to the Psalms. This is about 450 years after the law was given on Sinai. David is writing all these Psalms. He didn't write all of them, but he wrote a good portion of them. And in the very first one, this is what we read. Psalm 1, How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. If you grew up when I did back in the 60s, you heard a lot about meditation. It was all connected with Eastern religions. But here's God encouraging his people to meditate 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. Meditate on what? Meditate on the law. What's it mean to meditate? You think. You get quiet. You calm down. You slow down. You might carve out a little bit of time somewhere and say, for this little while, I'm going to be doing this. And you go and you do that in a quiet place and you think about the law. And he says it's a delightful thing to think about the law. This man who does this, he says in verse 3, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. What part of the law would you think about if you were going to think about the law? What part of the Word of God would you meditate on? I mean, give some thought to this is the first psalm. So the rest of the psalms weren't available yet. David's saying whatever he had of the Word of God, that's what he was going to think about. He was going to have his delight in God's Word. How much more of that Word do we have now? What a great benefit we enjoy to be 2,000 years on this side of the cross with a printed New Testament available in all kinds of translations that we can read and we can look at. You can get online and you can look up passages of Scripture. You can see the commentaries, what commentators have to say about it. You forget where a verse is, but you remember a couple of words in it. You can go to a concordance and you can look that up. We live in a great time. If you want to think about the Word of God, there is more opportunity today than there has ever been for humanity. It's really something to think about. And that's what David says is the best thing to do, to think about the Word of God and see the benefit in your life. Think on these things we're being taught. So, what are some, because there's not a passage in the Bible that says, here's how you do that. Step one, step two, step three. But here's how I go about doing this. Because it's not just passages of Scripture, it's songs. What did Paul write to the churches about singing? Sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Teaching one another. Songs teach. There's a message in every song. If there's not a message, it probably shouldn't be sung. But that's what songs are. Do you have any favorite songs? Any songs that just come to mind to you? I really like Joyful, Joyful. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. You know that song? That's a great song. I've got that. I wrote it down in my phone. I looked up the lyrics years ago and wrote those down. And I'm a slow writer when it comes to putting things in my phone. But I like to go back and look at that every now and then because that's a song that gives me a lift. There's another one that gives me a lift. It's not necessarily just because of the message of the song, but it's because of where I learned it. I learned it when I was single and when I was lonely. But the song goes like this. It's such a simple little song. It says, don't try to tell me that God is dead. He woke me up this morning. Don't try to tell me he's not alive. He lives within my heart. He opened up my blinded eyes and set me on my way. Don't try to tell me that God is dead. I just talked to him today. That's such a simple song. But I learned that centuries ago. And I've carried it with me ever since, and it was especially comforting to me in times when I was down and troubled and tired and heartsick. That little song helped bear me along. And there are a lot of other things you could think about, but if you've got things like this available to you, if you can put them in your mind, if you can write them down for easy reference, then you've got something you can go back to and you can think on things that will make a difference in your life and draw you closer to truth, closer to God, closer to sanity, if you will, and they can really have a great impact. So read to find something you really like. You can read through a songbook, read through your Bible, and find texts of Scripture that mean something to you. I know our favorite way to study is, okay, wherever it opens, that's where I'm going to start, right there. What is that? That's Ezekiel chapter 37. So that's not a bad way, but there are better ways. You can start with an author in the Bible that you have some interest in. It might be one of the Gospels. You might want to go to Proverbs. Proverbs is fantastic. Find a text of Scripture that says something to you, something you relate to. And you might have to read for quite a while before you come across it. But I'm telling you this, if you try this, you're going to be getting out your 3x5 note cards and writing stuff down that you didn't even know was in there. I know that because that's what I do. I find stuff. And sometimes I find things that I knew was in there but forgot about. I say, oh, wow, that's great. I'm going to write that down. What do you do with those 3x5 cards? Well, anything you want. You can tape them to your bathroom mirror. You can stick them on your refrigerator with a magnet. You can tape them to the dashboard of your car, but be sure it doesn't distract you while you're driving. What happened, officer? Well, this guy was reading his Bible in the car and had a wreck, so don't do that. But put those things up in front of you where you can see them and change them every now and then. I don't know about you, but once we have pictures in our house on the walls, for a few weeks, you don't even see them anymore. You're just not conscious that they're there. And I think that's true also for sometimes when you make a passage of Scripture on a card and you put it in a place to see, to remind you. Change those up. Change them out. Find other passages that you're interested in. You can memorize them, but that sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? It's not that much if you're willing to take the time. I almost had a heart attack at Bear Valley because I got in a class and they said, okay, here's one of the things you're going to do in this class. You're going to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. My first thought was, I can't do that. That's three whole chapters. You know what? We all did it. How do you memorize three chapters? Not even one verse at a time. You memorize it one line at a time, sometimes one thought at a time. But if you stick with it and you work at it, you can memorize that. I can't tell you how much good that does to memorize Scripture, but I can say it'll make you like a tree planted by the waters that bears its fruit in season. I have pretty good authority on that. But when you've got things like this planted in your mind and planted in your heart, you have them available for recall. And when you get troubled, you can think about the Word of God and how the Word of God speaks to your situation and your difficulty. Sometimes it doesn't have to be word for word memorization from the Bible. Memorize a story. We have a saying at our house, Jehovah Jireh. Have you heard that recently? What's it mean? Were you here Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago? Jehovah Jireh means the Lord provides. And I don't know how many times we've repeated that to one another because God has provided things that we didn't realize could be provided the way they were, and here we are. And so we'll say Jehovah Jireh because we have that story memorized. And if you're not familiar with that, that's where God told Abram, go sacrifice Isaac. Abram took Isaac to sacrifice him, but before he slayed the boy, the angel stopped him and said, don't kill the boy over there in the bushes as a ram. Abraham got the ram and he called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. And that's what God does all the time. He always provides. It's just a simple story, but it teaches a principle that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life. So read, find something you want to memorize, whether it's a song or a passage of scripture, narrow it down into a workable piece, and then spend time with it. There is no, that's the word I'm looking for, no substitute for spending time with the Word of God. No substitute for spending time with a verse of a song. You have to take time and do it deliberately and do it diligently. And you'll implant that in your mind and in your heart, and it will do you good. That's what we're being taught to do in Philippians 4. If there's anything good, think on that. If there's anything excellent, think on that. And there's a lot of good and excellent things to think on. How about this? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on this either. But I know some of you write. And if you don't write, I want to challenge you to write. And I'm not talking about writing for public consumption. I'm writing for your own consumption. Think about God and write down what you think about God. Think about something that the Bible teaches and what you're struggling with regarding that, and start writing that down. And don't wait for the perfect place to write. Just start writing. The wonderful thing about computers is you can start typing something out on a computer, and if you want to rearrange it, you can cut and paste and redo things. One of the things I do is I'll write things out on a piece of paper and then print that. And then I'll look at that with a pen and think, okay, well, what else can I add to this? And then you think about something else and you add something else to it. And then you take it back and you redo it. And in the process of thinking about things in this way to write it, you find yourself organizing thoughts much more with much more discipline than you would otherwise. The same thing is true when you talk to God about things. It could be something going on in life. It could be a passage of scripture you're studying. It could be a song that you really enjoy. Talk to God about whatever it is, and in the process of talking to God about it and describing to Him what you're talking about, you'll find your thoughts coming to be much more organized in your mind. It's a discipline that only comes with practice. And that's what Paul said at the last part of that section in Philippians 4. The things you've seen in me, the things you've heard from me, the things I've told you, practice these things. And that's what all of us have to do, to think on these things, to get them embedded in our heart and in our mind. So find something that interests you to write about. It could be a passage of scripture. It could be a particular teaching. What's another word for teaching? Doctrine. What's another word for doctrine? Teaching. Yeah, I know, it's great, but that's the simplicity of it. Doctrine sounds religious and it sounds important. Teaching sounds like you're going to school. Well, yeah, you are going to school. You are being indoctrinated. You're planting the Word of God in your mind, and this is one way to do it. Once you've read it, or written it rather, come back to it in a day or two and read it again. And you'll read that and you'll probably go like I do, what was I thinking? Here's another idea. I'm going to put this down to that. And your thoughts will grow. And remember, you're not doing this for some professor somewhere. You're not doing this to get a grade in school. You're doing this to develop a relationship with God and have a better understanding with Him and of Him. In prayer, and this is the last part of what I'll talk about tonight, whatever's on your mind, tell it to God. And you might find yourself struggling for words. And the great thing about talking to God is He already knows everything you're trying to describe to Him. And He already knows what's in your heart that you wish wasn't in your heart. And you're trying to talk around that because you don't want that to slip out and let God know that you feel that way. Well, duh, He already knows. That's a great thing about talking to Him. He already knows. You're not going to surprise Him with anything. Can you imagine God in heaven? You're talking to God in heaven and you tell Him something. He goes, oh my goodness, I had no idea, Marty. No, He has every idea. Before you have them, He has them. He knows them. So talk to God. And what you're doing is, once again, you're organizing your thoughts. You're framing your words. I don't know if you've ever realized this, but when you start to talk about something, and I think this is why a lot of folks don't make any comments in class, because they have things in their mind, but they're afraid if they start saying it, it won't come out right. Well, duh. I can't tell you the last time I preached a sermon and everything I said in that sermon came out just right. It doesn't happen that way, but you got to do it. You got to say something. You got to make the effort. And this is what we do when we have good close friends. You have conversations with your close friends. And that's what prayer is. It's a conversation with God. You read His word. He's telling you. He's talking to you. You speak to Him. You're telling Him what's in your mind. And in the process, you're getting your thoughts together. I remember listening to a guy talk about marriage and how one husband was complaining to him. So I don't know what my wife thinks about this. And he said, well, she doesn't either. And she's talking to you to try to figure out what she thinks about that. That's why she's talking to you. You're the sounding board for her so she can get her thoughts straight. And you're the one who needs to give her the time to let her do that. Now, that's pretty good advice. Remember, when you talk to God, remember when you're right. This isn't a performance. It's an effort. You're trying to get your mind filled with God, not just His word, but Him. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He didn't say the Bible is the way and the truth and the life. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. The only way to understand Him, though, is to get into His word. You read that, and you come to realize who Jesus is. And so when we read in the scriptures and it says, these words that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, write those on your doorposts. Write those on your gates. Make them as frontals in your eyes. Teach them diligently to your children. Meditate in the law of the Lord. Let that be your delight daytime and nighttime. It'll make you like a tree planted by streams of water. If there's anything that's excellent, anything beautiful, think on that. That's what we'll be directed to do. Because there's a lot of junk in the world. Have you noticed it? Did I say prayer would be one last thing? Will you allow me one more thing? Malachi. Go to Malachi and we'll finish up on Malachi. That's the Italian prophet, Malachi. I'm sure I've told you this before, the minor prophets start with the Mexican, Jose, and they end with an Italian, Malachi. This is what the prophet Malachi says in chapter 3, verse 16. This shows me that it's important to talk to other people about the things Paul is saying to think about. Malachi 3:16, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. That's all it says. They spoke to one another. Doesn't say what the content of their conversations was, but they were the people who feared the Lord, and they talked to each other. And the Lord gave attention, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. You get that picture? Now, Malachi is writing during the times of those who've come back to Jerusalem from captivity to rebuild the walls and rebuild the tabernacle or the temple. And that's what they're doing. Those are the people who were back there. But man, they're struggling. They're having some moral issues and spiritual issues. But those who fear the Lord talk to each other. Find people that you can talk to about the Word of God, about your struggles in life, and talk to them. And I see how this says, the Lord gave attention and He heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. All right, I made you a promise. That's the end of the lesson. Titus has an invitation song. This is not one of those sermons that cause you to necessarily repent or to obey the gospel, but if you have any need tonight, whether by way of embracing Jesus as the Son of God or need the prayers of this church, we are here for you. Just let us know how we might help while we sing the invitation song together. Titus, where'd he go? Oh, there he is.